Fantasy Sports Network presents NBA Takeaways.
Hello and welcome to NBA Takeaways, brought to you by the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on the NBA Sound System. My name is Scott Bogdan. You can find me on Twitter at Bogdan Sports. And I am in a fantastic mood today. And let me tell you why. It's because I was watching the Rockets play the Golden State Warriors on the road, and James Harden had an amazing performance. Your future MVP of this year, been playing amazing over the last stretch, nailed that game winner to win it. I know about it. My neighbors know about it for sure. I think people 3 to 4 blocks down the road know about it because I was losing my mind. What a fun game to watch. I think this has to be the best game of the season so far. And it was on, you know, it was on January 3rd where, you know, the holidays are over, kind of getting back into a normal routine. And I got to tell you what, the Rockets are getting back into their normal routine of winning because they're only two losses away from matching their loss total from last season. Hard to believe, but that's where we stand with the Rockets right now. But they are playing on a different level right now. And not only are they playing on a different level, but they're doing it without Chris Paul. Obviously, Trevor Ariza has been gone for the entire season. And this team just looks really, really good right now. Pretty much unstoppable. And it's all because of James Harden with his just amazing play that he's had since the beginning of December. The dude has been absolutely unstoppable. In fact, if you roll over to NBA.com and you take a look at one of the most recent articles out from John Schumann, at John Schumann, that's S-C-H-U-H-M-A-N-N on Twitter, he wrote an awesome article about how the Rockets have been performing well, but the bench is thin. The title is One Team, One Stat, Rockets Bench is Thin, but Effective Enough. And he has all kind of, I don't want to give anything away here, but in the absence of Paul, he's averaging 41.8 points over those five games. So with no Chris Paul, and this is before the game that played tonight as I'm recording this, in which he scored 44 points. It was an overtime game, of course, but it was only in overtime because James Harden knocked down the three to tie it and the three to win it. So I am ecstatic. I am on cloud nine right now. The Rockets have been moving up the standings recently, up and up and up and up. And if you take a look right now, this second, as we're talking, the Rockets are fourth in the West. They were 14th at one point this season, but fourth right now, 22-15, two games behind Golden State, who they just beat and are 2-0 against this season. The Golden State's 25-14, Oklahoma City 24-13, and then Denver still in first out west at 25-11. So I'm just super hyped up. I'm super pumped up. I had to talk about that. That was just so much fun of a game to watch, and I hope you guys saw it and you enjoyed it, because we had a couple other games tonight that weren't as exciting. They were somewhat impactful. But before we get to those, I do want to say that I was very impressed by Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr. And of course, the reason I was impressed is because he was heaping praise on James Harden. He said, this is specifically what he said, he's changed the way people draw fouls. He's the best in the league at it. It takes someone really unique and special to literally change the way the whole league is playing and the way they look at the game. James has done that with his ability to draw contact and get himself to the line. If you think you can reach in there and get the ball from him, you're crazy. You're just going to foul him. So you have to keep your hands up and keep your hands wide. You have to stay disciplined the whole night. And going into this game, James Harden did lead the league in free throws made and free throws attempted per game. And I believe he took 9 tonight and 8 of 9 again. So anyway, I'll try and stop talking about the Rockets so much, but tease that I don't come right back swinging to it, because that was the most fun I've had watching a basketball game this season, and I was very, very excited about it. But anyway, you guys are probably even wondering, where is the Welsh? Because this is technically the Welsh's show to do today, but I have to pinch hit because the Welsh is out sick right now. He's a DNP illness. It's not Jim Boylan is not running our show here, so he didn't get any weird benching or only a certain amount of minutes for introspection or anything like that. He is just out sick. It's, you know, that time of year. Stuff is going around. Welsh has some kids, so he tends to get sick more often than I do. But you know what? Usually when the Welsh gets sick, he soldiers through. So it must be pretty bad right now, because when I get sick, I'm a giant baby. Like, I need my mom. You know, I need some soup. I need somebody to take care of me. But the Welsh must be pretty sick, because he's been sick before and been able to soldier through, but not able to go for it today. So I will gladly pinch hit for him on this great Rockets win day. So other stuff happening around the league. You saw tonight, or at least you should have seen, maybe you saw some highlights, that Kawhi Leonard returned to San Antonio with the Raptors to play against them. And this was a very, very interesting game. I don't know how to start this discussion. There's so many places to go here. Number one, I guess, here's where I'll start. DeMar DeRozan played unbelievably inspired in this game. He went crazy. He had his first career triple-double ever. And first of all, I was kind of surprised to see that, because DeMar DeRozan is such a skilled player. I guess maybe he doesn't shoot threes. You know, there's always that one game where a guy will shoot, you know, make 10 threes and get a double-double with points and boards, but he's not a three-point shot, so he hasn't assisted as much as he has in San Antonio when he was in Toronto. So I guess maybe it's not that surprising, but he hadn't done it before in this season either. So he just went ham, 21 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals. He was 7 of 15, knocked down all of his free throws, 7 of 7. Just looked very, very good, and I am really excited to see what it's going to look like when he goes to Toronto to play, because this was a big game against his former team, but it wasn't in front. I mean, I guess, you know, you want to make your new fans proud of you. He for sure did that. It wasn't like Kawhi Leonard had a bad game. 21 points, a rebound, 5 assists, 2 steals. He was 8 of 13, 5 of 7 from the line. Didn't make either one of his three-point shots. Danny Green, who was cheered loudly at this game, this might be his worst game of the year. No points, 4 rebounds, an assist, a block on 0 of 7 shooting. 6 of those were 3-pointers. He just couldn't knock down anything tonight, so did not look very good for him. But he got a big applause and ovation when they announced him. But when Kawhi Leonard came out, not so much. He was booed unmercifully. I mean, it just, they were not happy to see him. And I don't blame the fans. Isaiah Thomas got very upset. IT3, he went to Twitter, and I'll talk to you about that in a second. But I've said this on the show many, many times. You lay down your hard-earned money to go to a game. You're allowed to boo or say whatever you want within reason. You know, if you're cursing and making an ass out of yourself and upsetting the people around you and ruining other people's experience, well, those people paid too, and you don't get to mess with their experience. And if you cross the line and a player says something back to you, you can't be surprised when a player says something back to you. So, once again, boo whoever you want. You want to boo Kawhi, and I was just kind of surprised by even Kenny Smith. I love Kenny the Jet, obviously, former Rocket. Champion with the Rockets, but he said, I'm going to put my fan hat on for a second, and yeah, of course, I'm a fan of the Spurs. This guy didn't want to play with the Spurs anymore, so yes, when he comes back, I'm not saying that he didn't do anything for our organization, but right now, at this second, I don't like that guy. He's on the other team. He wanted to leave my city and my team, so I choose not to like him, and I express that by booing. And I was really surprised that Isaiah Thomas was so sensitive about this. And I get it. You know, he left Boston. It was a bad situation. He wasn't a good fit in Cleveland. You know, just things for Isaiah Thomas haven't worked out recently. So I understand that he's a frustrated dude right now, hasn't been able to play this year yet. Hopefully he's coming back soon. And I like Isaiah Thomas. I think he's a great player, and I love watching him play. Short guy like me. I love short guys, of course. But I was really surprised. Let me pull up his tweets and read them to you here real quick, because this is just not a reaction that you would expect. You'd expect a guy that has played in the NBA for so long to understand this kind of comes with the territory. He said, first tweet was, "That man won a championship for y'all and you boo him. That ain't it. Take the fan hat." He throws up some quotes off for once and put the player hat on and see if you still boo a player. And then the next one was, "Let us come to your job and boo you for 2 hours for you looking out for yourself when teams after time after time do what's best for them." So a couple things here. And I maybe I'm beating a dead horse, but this seems to happen more and more often as we're moving through the year, that I just can't believe this is the same tired shtick that players say. And I it's not many players. It's only a couple players, but, you know, "Let me come to your job and boo you." Well, yeah, okay. Well, let me make 1/5 of what you make. I mean, that comes with the territory, man. It just does. I did like someone responded to his tweet with a, it said, "Isaiah Thomas booing me during my PowerPoint presentation for 2 straight hours is the only thing that, the thought of that is the only thing that's getting me through this workday." I thought that was pretty funny. He just shows up. I think there was a commercial like that before. I can't remember who it was with, but it was a football player. And he was in the office and he had a D and a fence sign and he was yelling, "Defense, defense," with the guys, you know, typing up his TPS report or whatever it is. So, you make a bunch of money. You play in an arena, you know, typically not a lot of booing going on in an office setting or whatever. You work in a restaurant, you're a waiter, you drop a glass, you know, someone going to boo you. Boo. You got to hold on to that glass, son. Now I got to wait for 50 more minutes for my beer to come out because your bartender's busy. I mean, you don't typically see people working their day to day getting booed. So, like I said, people and listen, that's part of people's jobs, too. If you've ever worked in customer service, you know this, that your job is to, you know, not get booed, but a lot of those people get cussed at for the entire day. You deal with the angry customers, and that's what that's set up for. So there are people that take that stuff all day long. So to see Isaiah Thomas get so upset by this was kind of surprising. And Pop was even upset by this. He said, "I felt badly about it. Kawhi's a high-character guy. We all make decisions in our lives about what we're going to do with our futures, and he has the same right as any of us. So I felt badly, honestly." And they also, you know, those two hugged after the game, which I thought was great. You know, I mean, you're allowed to have disagreements with your organization. You're allowed to ask for a trade, like he said. I mean, these are things that are, you know, he didn't do anything crazy. He's not a horrible person, I don't think. Is he selfish? You can argue that. You can say that he quit on his team last year, and the people in San Antonio think that he did. I don't know that he did. I think you can definitely see both sides to this, where he didn't feel respected, so he sat out, and maybe he milked the injury. I'm not sitting here saying that. I have no idea. So, but the people in San Antonio are free to express themselves. And now I tell you one thing I did not like at all. And I can't remember where I saw the tweet, but there was a fan going after Kawhi's mom in the stands. I didn't hear what he said, but someone recorded Mama Leonard firing back at this drunk idiot. And I love that. But that is where you're crossing the line, fan. I mean, I don't care what I did. You can say or whatever, anything to me, but don't go talking to my mom like that. And I think that is a line that most people refuse to cross. So I just don't know what this guy was thinking. Obviously, probably some alcohol was involved, but she was getting after him. And I'm pretty sure that the dude got booted too. But if you go after a player's mom when she's sitting in the crowd, you know, you're asking someone to come up for you. So whether it's a security guard or Kawhi himself, hopefully security guard rolled that guy on out. But yeah, Kawhi came back, lost. San Antonio dominated that game. DeRozan looked good. Kawhi got booed. I mean, there were quitter chants, traitor chants. I don't know if I believe that stuff, but the fans are allowed to criticize whether it's fair or not. So I'll just leave it at that. But that was an interesting game, and I'm really excited to see what happens when DeMar DeRozan goes back to Toronto, because he will absolutely, he loved playing in Toronto, and Toronto loved him too. So that should be a fun one when we get around to that. Moving on to LeBron James, and this one really surprised me. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by many things anymore, but LeBron called himself the greatest of all time. I believe it was on an ESPN piece where I don't know the context of him saying, but what he basically said was, after we came back on the most winningest team in NBA history in the finals, down 3-1, that is when I said to myself, I'm the greatest to ever play. And that's really braggy. I mean, I don't know if it's something that most people are going to say about themselves, but guess what? Most people don't have the opportunity to say something like that about themselves, because, I mean, you know, love him or hate him, LeBron is absolutely one of the best players to ever play basketball. So there's really no debating the sentiment that LeBron James is one of the best to ever play. So Michael Jordan wouldn't say that about himself. Someone asked him about it, and he said, I would never call myself the greatest of all time, because I believe that that disrespects the people that came before me. Now, I know this was recent when he was asked about it. This could have been a shot at LeBron James. This could have been nothing. This could have been, you know, Michael Jordan didn't know anything about LeBron saying this stuff about himself. So I didn't really catch the context in which that was being said. I just saw that Michael Jordan had said, I would never call myself the greatest of all time because it disrespects the guys that came in front of me. Which, maybe it does, but also, Michael Jordan's probably the greatest of all time. It's him or LeBron to me. So, and I know I am technically a millennial. I'm 83, so I'm in that window. But these are the two guys that I've seen for my life, Jordan and LeBron, and no one else really compares to them. There are other players that are very, very, very good. Kevin Durant's very, very good. Steph Curry was the best player. He was better than LeBron for a stretch. James Harden is playing at a ridiculous level. Anthony Davis is amazing. I mean, you know, Pippen was amazing. There's all kinds of great players in the NBA, but when you talk about the greatest of all time, it's really between Jordan and LeBron for me. So LeBron calling himself the greatest of all time, all right, that's self-confidence to me. But Danny Ainge took umbrage with this, and he had some comments, and this was really surprising. He said his career's not over. This is on 98.5, the Sports Hub's Toucher and Rich. I just like to, why is he saying that? I don't know. Maybe he thinks that that sells. Maybe he's taking the Donald Trump approach and trying to sell himself. I don't know. Now, we know LeBron doesn't like Donald Trump. He's told us that. So this comment almost felt like it was needling to me. Comparing LeBron to Donald Trump, you know that's going to get back to LeBron. Because Danny Ainge is a respected person in the NBA. So to hear him saying that kind of stuff, you knew that that is going to get back to LeBron, and that is definitely going to needle at him. Now, you know, he could have been swept up in, you know, radio show hype with the guys that he's talking to and about and with. Sometimes guys get in that morning zoo situation and get swept up in that kind of stuff. You know, that's why they call them shock jocks. So maybe that's why he was saying that, but it felt like that was a purposeful comment. I could just be reading too much into it. Maybe he actually believes that, but that kind of felt like a shot to me. The other thing he said is obviously LeBron is in every conversation with who is the greatest player of all time, but time will tell. I don't know if anyone knows who the greatest of all time is because the years are so different. And I firmly believe that. I mean, you know, you could talk about Wilt, you could talk about Oscar Robertson, You could talk about all the greats, like Michael Jordan said, that came before him. And we have this debate. I feel like basketball, well, the rules have changed. I don't know if in basketball the rules have changed as much as they have in baseball. I mean, baseball went through steroids. So, you know, steroids, sure, they help you recover a little bit in basketball, but there's not guys taking loads and loads of them to hit home runs, because the bigger you get, the more likely your lower body is going to become hurt. It's just at some point it diminishing gains. So football, I mean, we had football. There was no forward pass. I think the, you know, lack of a forward pass and the way the all the rules have changed are a bit bigger than some of the rules in the NBA in a three-point line. So the NBA probably has the closest, in my opinion, I think it has probably the closest argument as to who is the best to ever play, because the game is most like it was in the beginning. So versus, you know, versus football, who the greatest to ever play there is Jerry Rice. I don't think that's too debatable. Baseball is completely debatable because you have pitchers, you have hitters. You know, Babe Ruth, a lot of people think. Barry Bonds, a lot of people think. And in hockey, it's just Wayne Gretzky is the greatest to ever play. So I read something. This is something I saw on Reddit, because someone brought up that Anthony Davis might be too good. Do we need to break him up, or do we need to have fantasy leagues without Anthony Davis because he gives such a fair advantage to another person, which to me is a bit ridiculous. But I read that in hockey, Wayne Gretzky was so good that they had Wayne Gretzky goals and Wayne Gretzky assists, and they were number one and number two picked. So that's neither here nor there, but it's just an amazing thing that I read. But anyway, is LeBron the greatest of all time? I guess who's more wrong here? That's what I want to know from everybody. Let's not focus on who's right. Let's focus on who's wrong. Let's go negative with it. Is Danny Ainge more wrong for comparing LeBron to Donald Trump? Or is LeBron more wrong for saying that he's the greatest of all time? Who's more wrong? That's what I want to hear from you. So this will be tweeted out on the NBA Sound System. That's at NBA Sound System. So drop a comment below and let me know what you think. Who is more wrong in these in this context? That should be fun to see what people say. But we also had a trade, guys. We had huge blockbuster trade. No, not so much. It wasn't really a blockbuster, but it was a trade nonetheless. We should talk about it. Justin Holiday going to the Grizzlies for Marshawn Brooks, Wayne Selden, and 2 second-round picks. The Bulls waived Cameron Payne. We'll see what they wind up doing with the two players. I think the point of this was to get the 2 second-round picks. But this was also interesting. We talked about this on yesterday's show, that the trade happened the day after the Grizzlies incident. Remember, they had that closed-door meeting. I didn't know about the fight that had happened in the locker room, and it was between Omri Caspi and Garrett Temple. So the Grizzlies GM, Chris Wall, said, "When losing happens, obviously emotions get frayed, and we're very passionate and competitive people in this game. Unfortunately, we had an incident." Temple said, "Some things were said and some things happened. At the end of the day, we're brothers. We've known each other since we were rookies. They played together in Sacramento. At the end of the day, we came out of that meeting on the same page, and we're moving on from it." And then Caspi's comments were, "Obviously, whatever happened between our locker room should stay in the locker room. I think all of us as a group are obviously frustrated with the situation." So I don't know if the timing matches up because of this. I mean, obviously, neither one of those guys were traded in this deal, but it was interesting to see a trade happen the day after this stuff went down. So we'll see what Justin Holiday brings to the Grizzlies, and we'll see what is happening with the Bulls moving forward in a lost season, to say the least. Before we go, let's talk about what we're looking forward to this weekend. Big slate on Friday night. I like that Dallas at Boston game. Dallas, obviously, like we said yesterday, has not been very good on the road, and we don't know if Kyrie is going to play. He has that scratch cornea. We'll see if he gets in there, but that game should be interesting, with Dallas winning a road game finally against Charlotte. Indiana, Chicago is a nice one. Let's see. Washington at Miami. I like that one. LA at Phoenix. Clippers only favored by 4. Let's see if Phoenix can rock this boat back the other way. The LeBron-less Lakers are hosting the Knicks. We'll see who is stepping up with LeBron James missing his 5th game. And we'll see what Enes Kanter is going to get after this, before January meeting with ownership and the GM. Oklahoma City on the road at Portland in a pick game. Really, really good game. That's probably the best game of the night. That is a late one, 10:30 if you're on the East Coast. Looking at the Saturday slate, the Rockets get Portland in the back-to-back. It is in Portland, but the Rockets on that hot streak are going to play at Portland. Golden State at Sacramento, that should be a great game. San Antonio hosting Memphis. Toronto-Milwaukee, how about that? That is going to be for the lead in the East, because with that loss tonight, Toronto slipped back to, I believe they're a half game behind Milwaukee. They might be tied on percentages, but they're very, very close nonetheless, and that one is going to decide it. Dallas on the road at Philly on their road trip. Another big one for Dallas. Utah and Detroit should be a lot of fun as well. These Sunday games are not as exciting as the other games this weekend, I guess to say. Lakers at Minnesota is a good one, but the other ones are Brooklyn at Chicago, Orlando at the Clippers, Washington, Oklahoma City. Actually, that's pretty good. Indiana at Toronto, that's a good one. And then Charlotte at Phoenix wraps us up for the weekend. So that is your weekend slate. Another thing happened over the weekend. Bol Bol, son of Manute Bol, broke his foot at Oregon. Disappointing, to say the least, because we'll start talking about the draft here fairly soon, too, because I know a lot of teams have fallen out of competition this year, and they are looking ahead to the 2019 NBA draft. And it just looks like Zion Williamson is not going to have any competition at the top of the draft. So we will, you know, we're going to start having guests here pretty soon as well. So we'll get a draft person on for sure to talk about the NBA draft. But Bol Bol breaking his foot is disappointing, because this is a new Bol, great player at Oregon, going to go very, very high in the draft. Still probably should be a lottery pick, but there are going to be teams that are chased off because of this foot injury. Lower body injuries to big men kind of spelled doom for their careers. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. That's what happened. Greg Oden, he had the microfracture surgery. Same thing with Amari Stoudemire, had microfracture surgery. Yao Ming's career was cut short because he broke his foot a bunch of times. So hopefully this doesn't drop him too far. I mean, he's still a very young man, but these lower body injuries for the big men are no joke. But it looks like it's going to be Zion Williamson at the top, RJ Barrett, and then it's kind of a question mark as to who should go after those guys. So we'll be talking about the NBA draft at some point in the near future. But that's everything I got for you guys. I hope you enjoyed this. If I was a little too hyped, at Bogman Sports on Twitter, at NBA Sound System, at FNTSY Radio, and wish the Welsh some better future here at Is It the Welsh, and hopefully he gets better moving deeper into 2019, because he is sick as a dog right now. But I hope everybody has a great NBA weekend, and I will see you on Monday. Take it easy.
For more NBA content, be sure to check out the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.